Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, you're all very welcome back. I have Garode and Lorraine Teevan before me. They're from Belturbet in County Cavan. That's Garode turning pages. No, you can turn up all the pages you want. How are you doing?
Good morning. We're great. Good morning, feeling good.
You're running a sober festival in Cavan. That's not what it's called.
No, it's called Healing Spirit Festival.
Healing Spirit Festival. Where exactly in Cavan is this now? This is a nice picture of those drumlins, I'm glad to see. And I presume there's a lake nearby because it's Cavan.
Correct. We're blessed to be... it's right on the shore lines of Lough Urthur.
Lough Urthur?
Lough Urthur, yes.
Oh, what does that mean, do you know? That's a gorgeous name.
It's an ancient castle that was built in the 12th century.
Yeah.
And it's a UNESCO listed sacred building.
It's on that list, that other list.
Yes.
Correct.
You look like a man who would know Garode. You're an organic farmer, Garode, and Lorraine, you're an award-winning press photographer, proud parents of three children. So you have day jobs and you're doing this as well. But yeah. So you're running this festival in the summer. It's a very different type of festival to let people know. There's no alcohol, no substance. There's holistic music, isn't that is that a thing?
Correct.
And it's based in the heart, as we know, beside that lovely Lough Urthur.
Okay.
But I want to find out a little bit about you before we go into it. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah.
Lorraine, you grew up down the road from each other in Cavan, is that right?
Yeah, we were about 6 or 7 miles away from each other. I'm from Belturbet, Garode's from Milltown, where we live now. Garode would have been the year
ahead
of me.
Your teenage loves.
Teenage loves. We met on the 3rd of September 1988. Women on dates.
I love how you know the dates. You met.
It was the 3rd of September. 1988, yeah.
And come here, this fella, he went off to America, is that right?
He did. Well, we went out for a while and then he decided his path was off to America. So off he went and left me behind.
But you went out, you followed him.
I did. My sister passed away in 1998 and
She
was very young. She was only 33. And I just decided life was too short and I was waiting for him to come back and there was no sign of him moving. So I turned up on his door.
Well, that was a nice thing. You're young in grief and you could have gone down, you could have descended, but you headed off your love.
Yeah.
I presume you were... What's the gap between him leaving and you going over there? Is that...
He left in 1994 and I turned up in 1999.
Okay, so it was a couple of years. And were you in touch with each other? Did you send love letters, Garode?
No, I didn't. But I have to award Lorraine. She is superb at keeping contact with letters. And she wrote to me frequently.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a great joy to actually, you know, writing letters and opening letters from a person that truly loved you. But yet, where I was in my life at that time, I wasn't reciprocal to writing back.
Your life was a pure and utter disaster,
correct,
as you might say,
correct,
around the Northeast.
Having a lot of fun as well.
San Francisco is where you are. What's happening in your life?
I began actually in New Jersey.
Oh,
New
yeah.
Jersey, and moved from there down to Atlanta, Georgia, and from Atlanta, Georgia up to Chicago.
It has to be cooler there behind.
And from Chicago to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Oh. And that's where I had my my first real job, mm-hmm. which was long-distance truck driving.
Oh, really?
So, yes, correct.
Okay.
So it was for a company called Schneider National. And there was 30 of us, 30 Irish guys, all training at the same time with this company.
Yeah. There's people texting you now to say you're on the radio.
We apologies.
Don't worry.
We're all from different parts of Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a great... we brought a great level of energy to Green Bay, Wisconsin. We were treated like celebrities around Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I think they'd be rare there.
So we drove all around America, mm-hmm. Traveled through every state in America. So it was a great experience. And from there, I moved out to San Francisco. I had two good friends living out there and went out there and said, this is going to be my home. So out of the 11 years, I spent 6 in San Francisco.
And you're there for the good times, aren't you? So it's a proper, the hippies are still there. They're all cleared out now by the cost of housing and so on.
Correct.
And the gays and so on. I said it was a great town.
It was, yeah. Mm. Yeah, wonderful town.
But you indulge yourself.
I did, yes. My American dream turned into an American nightmare.
Did it.
And alcohol abuse took over my life. And it brought me to the depths of personal despair. And I was a broken man. And it took many years for me to open up and really acknowledge
there was a problem.
That I was sick, yeah.
Lorraine, when you went out to him, what sort of a state was he in?
No, when I went out to him, he wasn't too bad. We were probably young. I was 26, he was 28. We were having a good time. I wasn't really a drinker, but we'd go out, we'd have a great time. But when I really discovered what was going on with Gerard, and when it really kicked off, was when I got pregnant with our first child, Joby.
Yeah.
And it just was like overnight. It just
spiraled.
Spiraled, yeah.
And there was a particularly low moment when you had to.
Yeah, it was just He was just, was so self-destructive, and like he was never destructive towards myself or our children or anything like that. His destruction was all towards himself. It was all in his head, and he had a lot of.
Your teenage romance, it became like a real tornado of love when you went over there.
Did
you get married kind of straight away, did you?
We got married 6 weeks after I arrived. We went to Vegas and we got married in the middle of the night.
Okay. Did you? The middle of the night?
The middle of the night, 4 o'clock Elvis in the morning. There? No, Elvis wasn't there. We woke up some poor elderly man at 4 o'clock in the morning. A guy called Reverend David King, who tottered down the stairs on a stick and came down and married the two of us. And we rang home and look at...
What was the reaction like that?
My mother said, please don't tell anybody. Because we were due to get married in Ireland 2 years later. And she said, you know, just keep that to yourself.
Just
so
don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone. So, and it was very funny because 2 years later, we were due to get married in Ireland. And of course, I was pregnant with Joby. And the whole relatives were rang up and said, Lorraine got married 2 years ago.
For God's sake.
We forgot to tell you. But no, look at yeah, look at it. It was a nightmare because I was very much on my own over there. When I arrived, Gerard had met all his friends, and I was illegal when I was over there. And it was very, very difficult. And I was in grief, and then I had a baby, and then Gerard was just—he was so unhappy.
Yeah.
He was so unhappy, and it was. Very dark days.
We know from addiction recovery that it has to be you, doesn't it? That it has to make the move to decide, do you want to get well again? Did you ever figure out why you were so unhappy, why you needed to escape yourself?
I was just spiritually and mentally broken down. And when I look back on it now, I can see the progression in that when I was 18, 19 years of age. And then in my early 20s, I could see the progression, and that's when people that friends of mine and family members started to voice their concern.
Did they, right?
And the denial was very much part of what state I was in at that time. Mm. And I said, I have no issue. I can sort this. And internally, I knew that I did have an issue, but I didn't want to admit that. And again, I tried every other way to resolve and take patterns of not drinking for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But in my head, it was always gearing up for that reward that I'll splash out on a particular weekend. And then I could go missing and end up anywhere in the country. Yeah.
Hospital attendance is very serious. Hospital attendance and everything.
Yeah, there was
a heart incident.
A routine of about hospitals, jails, and
yeah. There was a he had to have his heart restarted at one stage, that he had
in his 20s.
You know, when he was, I think when he was about 29.
Good Lord.
Very serious incident, and had to call his family and say, don't think Gerard's going to make it. Joby was 7 months old at the time, and it was just bananas. It was bananas.
Fortunately, you get into rehab and restore yourself.
Not till you come home to Ireland, though. That didn't happen until
really?
That
okay.
was a long time later.
So there's quite a long road. The first two children, they remember the old...
Joby and Senan, that's our middle son, Senan. They would remember Gerard when he was drinking. And we have a little girl called Nolani.
Do you remember the Garrode, that old Garrode?
Yeah, yeah. And I know that, I know where it'll take me if I ever pick up a drink again.
Yeah,
I'll spiral back into that person, yeah.
It's the daily fight.
No, it's not. Now when I wake up in the morning, I have such a sense of gratitude for I can make the right choice, the right decision this day. And that's the power I have back, my sovereignty back. And it's a wonderful feeling. And again, before I leave my house, I think of Lorraine and the kids. And that's what keeps me going, yeah.
It's brilliant. How many years sober are you now?
14 years.
Well done.
This year, yeah, and it's such a joy and a blessing that I owe a lot of it to Sister Catherine in Tabor House in Navan.
That's where you went.
She got me, guided me on my recovery path. And I went from there to Asheree in Roxburgh.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I was really reprogrammed and left there with a new adventure of sobriety. And it has just brought me, for the last 14 years, now I'm living life.
Best days.
And just trying to help others that are in that phase, in that stage of addiction, that there is hope and help if you just ask for it.
Yeah, you have to do it yourself. He was a different man when he emerged.
I told my mother I felt like I was having an affair. I really did. Because I always knew Garrode was wonderful, but when he came out, he was just so different. And he was so in himself and he was so present and he was so happy. And it was just like,
you were like, I hope the other Garrode doesn't find out.
Yeah, I was terrified that he was going to come back.
The one I married in Vegas. Yeah,
the crazy guy was going to come back. But no, he never did. He never even had one slip. He just kept on his path and kept steady. And yeah, he's an amazing man.
And your youngest has no memory of the...
No, Lainey doesn't know. And she only recently found out, actually, about Garrode drinking. And
right.
No, she's absolutely no memory whatsoever.
What does she make of that? How do you...
She was a little bit disappointed that we hadn't told her before, but we just felt we didn't need to, you know. It's in the past. It's something we don't need to discuss. And she was just having such a lovely, happy, glorious childhood. We just felt there's no need to mention this to her, so we didn't.
It's an illness that's gone.
It's gone.
And is that the genesis? Is that the idea behind the festival? Is that where the inspiration came from? You want to sort of share this with people?
Absolutely, yeah. Why not? Mm. Why not have a celebration, a festival, in honouring an old Celtic Lunasa, which is the festival that we're highlighting, which is August, the first harvest, which... No substance, no alcohol, no drugs.
Yeah.
And give people, give the community that are in recovery an opportunity to come and celebrate in that manner, out in an open festival field, the heart of the land. And for those that may be just pondering, you know what, maybe I should lay off for a week or two.
Yeah.
And let them experience that.
Going out without any drink.
Correct, yeah. But it's a wonderful weekend, and again, you have to be there to experience it. You can't really
you can't dial in.
No.
Zoom. It's been running a while, has it? This is not the first time.
This is our third year of doing the festival. Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations! So. And you've had people who do drink but went to the festival and don't.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. We have lots of people that drink, and we had one lady actually the first year that she left, and she said to me, "I've tried every drink and every drug," and she said, "That's the biggest high I've ever had in my life."
Go ahead.
You know, it's just. Everybody talks to everybody. It's a very small festival now. We're not thousands of people. You know, it's a very small festival. Everybody
people
talks
like
to everybody.
Small
they do, yeah. And they talk to each other, and like we have a beautiful prayer circle and an opening ceremony that everybody's involved in when we open the festival. You know, so it's like it's kind of like we're all bonding and we're all, you know, it's a beautiful. I know it sounds hippy dippy, but it's a wonderful spiritual experience.
But nothing wrong with being hippy dippy either, is there?
No, well, it's not.
I'd imagine around Cavan. That you might be considered a bit of a hippie, especially because I'm looking at you, girls.
Don't know
especially because you went to San Francisco for so long, long haired, big goatee beard. I don't know what to make of him. I love that.
No, I'm not strange. I'm just not that normal. You know? That's good,
yeah. So true. But yeah, no, it's a lovely weekend.
What is the festival? Tell us what people can expect.
Well, we people can arrive on the Friday evening. So yeah, the campers that are coming for the weekend to stay, they can arrive on the Friday evening. And then I'll have a welcoming ceremony on the Friday evening, just for those who are there present.
Yeah.
And that will lead on to a sacred sweat lodge ceremony. There'll be a double. There'll be a Celtic one and a traditional Mexican one done by a wonderful Mexican family. And then that
so these are kind of spiritual things, are they? And
yeah,
traditions.
It's, yeah, it's a sweat lodge. So it's like an old
ancient
ceremony where you cover a willow structure with a tarpaulin, and there's heated stones in the middle of it, and everybody goes into the space, and it's closed off, and Grode leads it, and then Yanelli and Oscar lead the other one, and yeah, you pray and you chant and you sing, and
that's the healing aspect of the healing spirit festival, and music obviously.
There is, yes. There's that's on the Saturday. On the Saturday, then we have the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
So everyone will be present for that, and it's a lovely way to just really invite everyone that's there to participate, and make an offering to the sacred fire around the stone circle. And they can put their intentions and infuse into the wheat, the organic wheat that I've grown, and offer to the
because you're an organic farmer, to
the fire, and that is a beautiful personal part of the opening ceremony, and it's very powerful for me to witness that, and wonderful for me to witness that the respect that's shown by everyone that's doing it.
That's lovely. And music-wise, you've got Liam O'Wanley.
Yeah, we have Liam. Liam was with us last year and he was absolutely magnificent, and he's coming back again this year. So we have Liam O'Wanley.
Bog Bodies, is that a band?
Bog Bodies are a fantastic Irish band. Most of our artists are, a lot of them are local. We've Marcus McGee and the Hollow Men. We have Blue Tack and the Greenhorns. We've Dr. Slack and the Palpitations. All local bands. The Armagh Rhymers are just magnificent.
It's like a mini, and there's a Cayley as well. It's a mini flag Cayley, going on there, isn't there? On top of all the
spiritual 200-year-old thatch cottage on the land as well. So there's a Cayley at the cottage. Right. And
are people talking? Because I see Michael Harding's on the list.
Yeah, so we have.
Not sure how he is with a banjo.
So. We'll find out. We have the Spindle Tree stage. We have a lot of talks there. We have Michael Harding. We have Shane Connaughton, well-known Cavan author. We have Dr. Dillis Clare. She's a world-renowned herbalist. Grode himself is doing a talk. And then we also have a lot of holistic workshops for both adults and kids, yoga, meditation, restorative dance, Tai Chi. We even have a grief circle.
A grief circle, yeah,
led by a lovely lady called Patricia Lubeck. And it's an old form of keening. I don't know if you've ever heard
of course,
that.
Yeah,
so that's a grief circle that takes
place. They used to pay people to actually cry at funerals, didn't they?
Yeah.
Particularly the West.
So we have a lovely space. We have a lovely forest at the bottom of our land, and we have a lovely area at the bottom of that forest called the Serenity Now area. Yeah. Leads right onto the lake. And you might see somebody skinny dipping while you're in doing your yoga, your meditation or something, but it's very free. It's very free.
That's a different style of attraction.
We don't recommend it.
But keeping it small deliberately, obviously, because of all this nice atmosphere you want to create. But it's still about, would you have 1,000 people on site, a couple of hundred?
We hope that our max, at some stage, we would rate our max of about 1,200 people.
Oh, 1,200? That's a fair crowd. But you spread across all the stages.
We are a community group. So it's not about profit. So we are a community group. We're run by a lovely committee.
I have to catch on to that now.
Yeah, myself and Grode. I hope you don't mind me mentioning everybody else. We have Francis Green, Alwyn Pendert, Daniel Downey, Colette McElgunn, Rosie Cole Carroll and Shane Carroll are our committee.
So if it's non-profit, is it difficult to get funding? Because one of the things that funds music festivals, we know, is alcohol sponsorship.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, no, it is very, very difficult. And when you don't have the heavyweights back in the festival, it's tough going. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So who's helping you out at the minute?
Well, at the moment we've we've sent out invites to local businesses.
Very good.
And letting the word spread that way and asking for just financial aid, offering.
It's a good one to attract tourism, tourists looking for a different thing. I mean, I don't know, does Cavan fall in the Hidden Heartlands?
Yeah, it's Hidden Heartlands.
I hope they're paying attention. Invite them along as well.
Well, we have mentioned it. They haven't engaged with us yet, but we're hoping that they will.
And Fáil Gearland.
And Fáil Gearland as well.
Yeah,
we have been supported by Cavan County Council Arts Office. They have been helpful to us, and then
The arts offices in County Council are brilliant.
There's
a new story out today saying that sales of non-alcoholic beer grew 18% last year, so it has a 2% market share in the Irish. But people are looking for alternatives. I mean, you wouldn't consider, because they're alcohol brands with the 0%. I know they're getting through some of the they're slipping through some of the loopholes in terms of sponsorship when it comes to sport. They're not on your horizon
At the moment. No.
No. No, I think it's someone in recovery. They don't. You can't have 0% beer, I presume.
Depending on what stage of recovery you're in. You know, if you're in the early stages, no, we wouldn't recommend it. If you're mature and you have many years under your belt, possibly yes. But again, it's down to making the right choice. You know, for you.
There's a lovely message here saying all the best wishes to Garrod Lorraine and his family. I too am sober 14 years.
Good man.
And as Garrod said, it's a very different, happy life to live it sober. That's from Rob.
Thank you,
Rob. Thank you, Rob.
Feeling proud to know Lorraine, and I listened to her and her lovely husband listening to her this morning. Well done on the Sober Festival and your bravery in sharing the story. Two of life's very good people. That's from Brenda D. In Belturbet.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you very much, Brenda.
Sister Catherine in Navan, an incredible woman who's helped so many families throughout the years. Such a selfless woman who has spent her life in the service of everyone else. And that's from an anonymous texter.
She's an amazing lady.
We'll understand
She's
why.
Amazing lady.
Yeah, she is.
HealingSpiritFestival.com.
Yeah.
It's a pity we didn't get to talk. We'll have to get you in again to talk about, because the organic farming. Do you have any animals in the organic farm?
No.
And you work as a press photographer, Lorraine.
I work as a press photographer, but I've just come out of a year's battle with cancer, so I'm trying to get back into work. Yeah, so I got a lot of healing from that festival last year. I just wanted to say that.
You went last year and you had just been diagnosed.
I've been diagnosed on the 7th of July last year, so I'm just finished that battle. So the festival for me last year was just magical. I just wanted to mention that.
Well done.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Congratulations. Can I also say that somebody smells fabulous as well?
It's possibly me.
Definitely Lorraine.
Can we just say one last thing?
Yes, 30 seconds.
We want to say a very happy 90th birthday to the elder or wisdom keeper of the Teevan family, Frank Teevan, and also a very happy birthday to my sister Joanne, who is 21 plus today. And Garrod.
Thanks so much. I wish you well in your continued recovery,
both of you,
from the separate illnesses. HealingSpiritFestival.com. Good luck to you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
From the North Text Studio, followed by your message to 80889.